You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
So good morning. Welcome online if you're at home. I feel like I'm going to introduce myself to you all today. My name's Sean. But I'm more than that. I'm a child of God. I have received Jesus Christ. I believe in his name and he has given me the right to be his child. That's my hope this morning. This is the third little message or third little service where we talk about our hope in Jesus. Jesus, our living hope. In week one, Chris asked a question. Do you remember what it was? She asked us all, how has the death and resurrection of Jesus impacted you? Now, what I just said about myself, or what God says about me, is my answer to that question. Let me say it again. I am a child of God. I have received Jesus Christ. I believe in his name and he has given me the right to be his child. We all have that invite. My answer comes from scripture too. And it comes from the book of John chapter 1. Yet to all those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. How good is that? So my hope this morning is that through Jesus, his death and resurrection, I am restored to an eternal relationship with God, forgiven for my sin, holy and blameless in his sight. Sounds like I'm boasting. I am boasting this morning. And I'll tell you why I boast. Because Galatians 6:14 says that I can. May I never boast in the cross, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We get to boast in that together, church, this morning. Just to be clear, I'm not boasting in myself. I'm in total awe of God, his love and his grace, through his Son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You see, this is our gospel. This is our good news. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. If I look at the news at the moment, if I look at the world at the moment, it seems a little dark, right? But we've got the light. Amen. So our topic today, our hope this morning, in fact it's every morning, is that we have and can accept the invitation that Jesus extends to us. So our hope is in the invitation that Jesus gives. Revelation 3:20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah? You see, Jesus is... he's actually just finished giving the church one of the... probably maybe the harshest rebuke in Scripture. Yet it is often forgotten that after that rebuke comes an invite, an extraordinary invite. Remember, this is the God who created the universe, inviting you, us, everyone to come in and have a meal with him, to sit with him, to have fellowship with him. Does that get you excited today? Does me. In Luke chapter 14, there are some people eating with Jesus. In fact, there's some very prominent Pharisees of the time. And he tells them the story of a great banquet. Let me read you that story. So it comes from Luke 14, 16 to 24. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come now, everything is ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. "I've bought a field. I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm getting married. There's something great on Netflix." No, I didn't say that. Just seeing if, so on and so on. Life was getting in the way. The servant came back and reported it to his master. The owner became angry. "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you have ordered has been done. But there is still room. There is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, so my house is full." Verse 24 goes on to say that those who were invited but declined will not taste the banquet. Did you notice in this banquet that God's putting on for us, that there's so much room? Did you notice how he wants it full? I was looking at that word full. In the original language, it can actually mean swamped. How good. How amazing. God wants heaven swamped with people. There's so much room. And yesterday, not by chance, I was reminded of the parable of the mustard seed. This little tiny seed that grows into a massive wide tree with so much room for the birds to sit in it. Do you remember that parable? So in Luke 13, 19, let's read it. Jesus describes the kingdom of God like this. He says, "It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." So much room. Remember, heaven is going to be swamped with people because that's God's will. That's the will for his kingdom. Perhaps it's the parable of the lost son that sums up this invitation that we all receive. In Luke 15, 22 to 24, it says this, "Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. This son who had made himself God, made himself king, turned away from his father only to repent and come back again. The father is waiting for his son to return, reinstating him and celebrating. Now there is my hope in Jesus, invited back to eat with him, to celebrate with him." So here we are, church, invited to an eternal life with God through the cross, the death, and resurrection of Jesus. The scriptures are telling us that God wants his kingdom full of people. He tells us that we're invited. I've been invited places, and I think it's special. You get invited to a wedding or, you know, a party or something. But I can honestly say I've never been invited to a party. Well, I have now, but not in this world, where it's an open invite, where the people who are getting married or getting a year older are saying, hey, invite whoever you want. Invite whoever you know. Tell them that there's a party. Come. Bring as many people as you can. I think it's simply amazing. So the scriptures tell us that God wants his kingdom full of people. What would you do with that invite? I was thinking, what do I do with the invite that God has shown me and given me? The one thing in my heart of hearts that I want to do is I want to tell people. And sometimes that seems like it's the hardest thing to do. But that's okay too. We seem to live in tension between wanting to tell people about Jesus and sometimes waiting for the right opportunity or the right moment. As I said, it sounds pretty easy. We get excited, we want to tell people, but sometimes it just isn't that easy. But scripture is clear. In Matthew 28, 18 to 19, Jesus said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Seems like we have a little job to do, a little bit of work to do. Rockingham Baptist Church, do you know what our mission is? One at a time. Yeah. So our mission, making disciples one person at a time. We have this amazing invite to share with people. We have this amazing opportunity to speak Jesus. We were singing it this morning. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I want to give you a bit of an example this morning from the book of John. If there's ever a chapter in the Bible that you want to chew over and read, like meditate on, pick John chapter 1. It's quite extraordinary. So it starts out, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So there's no doubt in John's mind who Jesus is. Goes on to say that he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John 1:14 goes on to say that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So the good news there, God became flesh, God became human through Jesus and dwelt, lived among us. We know by reading this chapter who we are. I read it out at the start. My identity in who God is and who I am is sealed. We know we can be his children. He lives with us. All these things are said in a short few chapters, or sorry, paragraphs in the book of John. God, the eternal creator, comes to earth in human form to be with us, to dwell with us. Then there's another John in this story, John the Baptist. And he's telling everyone, he's saying, be ready, be ready. Jesus is coming. The Lamb of God is coming. And then he has this incredible moment where he actually baptizes Jesus. And in John 1:32, John tells this testimony. He says, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. How incredible. Do you know John had his own disciples, his own little group of people, his own people of peace? Do you know who people of peace are? We speak about it often in church. People of peace are people who like us, to start with. People who want to listen to us. And people who want to serve us. And I think if these people were called John's disciples, they did like him. And they did listen to him. And they did want to serve him. They followed him. But then the next day, John sees Jesus again. And he says, look, the Lamb of God, as Jesus passes by. And then two of John's disciples, they decide to follow Jesus. So John's been warming them up, telling them Jesus is coming, what to expect. And then Jesus comes by and these two disciples of John's leave John to follow Jesus. They go up to Jesus and they say, where are you staying? Then they go and spend the day with Jesus. Do you remember that scripture, Revelation 3:20? I stand at the door and knock. I will eat with them and they will eat with me. These disciples, they get the opportunity to eat with Jesus. The message goes out. But it doesn't end there. In John 1:40, we discover that Andrew, one of these disciples, is Simon's brother, Simon Peter's brother. And Andrew has decided to follow Jesus. But the first thing that Andrew did, he went to find his brother and tell him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. For me, when I read this story, I definitely see people of peace. People who know each other. There's relationship. And they're taking the opportunity within those relationships to tell people about Jesus, about the good news, about who he is and how they can have it too. They're making disciples, one person at a time. It's quite incredible. John the Baptist, his people of peace, meet Jesus, then they go and tell their people of peace who they have found, Jesus the Messiah. I'm wondering this morning, RVC, who are you going to tell? Who do you want to invite? Is there someone on your heart this morning that you're praying for? Is there someone that you get on well with? Is there someone that will listen to you? Do they want to serve you? Do they want to take you out for a coffee? Do they want to eat dinner with you? Can you pray for them? Can you look for that little opportunity to tell them about Jesus? That little seed? I get some good opportunities to tell people about Jesus because people ask me what I do for work. I say, I'm a chaplain or I'm a pastor. And sometimes those conversations are squashed. That's okay because I can still love that person and talk to them about something else until they're ready. Maybe God hasn't worked in their heart yet. Maybe they're not ready. But I still have faith in God that he is going to do something in their hearts and I pray for them. Other times I mention chaplaincy or church, or and the conversation opens up and it goes into being able to share the gospel. That recently happened to me when I was on holidays. I got to meet with someone who was searching for things, and I got to share the gospel with them. Other people, I would tell them about what I do and what I'm up to these days, and it didn't really go anywhere. So like I said, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard. Revelation 22:17 says this: "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." How's that for an invite this morning? Can we have hope in that invite? The Spirit and the Bride, the Spirit and the Church say, "Come." And then those who come, let them invite. Let the invite go out. Let the good news go out. Church, think about who it is that God's putting on your heart this morning to share his good news. Think about those people of peace that are in your little atmosphere, your little hemisphere. Those that like you, those that listen to you, those that want to serve you. Pray for them. Sometimes you have to get the revs up. It can be scary. Sometimes we have to do it out of a little bit of fear. We have to rev the engine and get going. But take that little step, take that little seed, plant it, and see what amazing things God will do with it. So an encouragement this morning. You all know the good news of Jesus. You've all heard it this morning. You all know that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Take that hope. Take the hope that you have in Jesus. Take the wonderful things that he's done in your life. Take it out to those that are ready to hear. And church, let's do it together. Let's work together. Let's share together. Let's share the good news with each other. We go out, we come back. Let's encourage one another. Are you with me this morning, church? Yeah? Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.